close enough with it.
It is time for our generation. It is Generation X. Hey.
Nice harmony you got there.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Eric B. I'm here with my favorite people in the world. It's Keisha Lewis.
Oh.
Will Sapp.
It's not cool. I got to wear these damn reading glasses all the time.
You got to wear reading glasses.
Man, just getting old crap. And yeah. I got contacts on. I can't see nothing.
I'm okay. I heard you mention that. What was it?
It's going to be a running thing.
And he was like, so you're wearing contacts.
I've been wearing glasses since I was 4.
Okay.
So I've always had glasses on. And then, you know, I transitioned to contacts later.
Okay.
So I have contacts. I've always been blind without my contacts.
Right.
20/20 vision with my contacts.
Right.
Then all of a sudden one day I was reading something and everything went blurry. Like literally while I was reading it.
Yeah.
So I went to the eye doctor and said, okay, maybe some time for a new prescription. He's like, prescription's fine, but you know, you're just going to need some reading glasses. I could have got some other type of contacts, which would have been like another $400.
Yeah.
Or he said you can just wear reading glasses.
So like your contacts give you regular eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Regular 20/20 eyes. I shouldn't say regular eyes.
Normally.
Eye.
No,
regular
no, you said it right.
Regular eyes. Your contacts give you 20/20 vision. But then they begin to
weaken. It's now weakened. So now it's like if a regular person eyes
need
reading glasses. Yeah. And so I used to make fun of people that had the glass at the end of their nose. I'm like, why they got
that? That used to be a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, because right I'm like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I didn't know.
Mine tend to do that every now and then.
I didn't know why they did that.
But as I get older, now I realize.
Now I understand.
I get it now.
Because
crazy.
If I wear them up here, I can't everything. See. Everything is too big.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I have to keep it down here because it's only when I'm up here reading.
Yeah.
Right.
So now I know why they have it down there. Like, I thought right. It just did hella cool. Like, hey, girl.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, oh God, pull the glasses up.
And then nah, that.
And then I did my E-40 impression because I had like this on.
Oh, here you go.
I had the beanie in my
E-40. Got the beanie.
You know?
Start
spitting
that.
Spin that. Wonderful, delicious verbal energy. You know?
Similac.
Humming, I'm coming in the Honda, leaving in the.
So, yeah, getting old is not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. Man.
Especially when you pass a mirror and you see yourself, you be like, God, no.
Like,
who is that person?
I still pass a mirror and be like, I cool. I ain't gonna lie. Now, I'm not saying I pass other people and they be like, hey, cool.
Yeah.
I pass the mirror and be like, hey, cool.
One time I passed a mirror and thought it was my dad. I was like, hey, oh. The hand went up. It was my hand, too. I was like, that's me.
Yeah, you do look like daddy. Your daddy's child. Hey, look. It's all good, man. Let's get into the show. We have a good show lined up for today. We have we're gonna talk about diet and eating healthy.
Mm.
We're gonna talk about holiday season. Got a nice little game set out for us, and then we're gonna get into the movie Soul Food. So it's Generation
Soul
X.
Food.
Mm-hmm. Let's get this thing cracking. Don't touch your dial.
Just time on love will last. reaching out to each other. It's all.
Lionel Richie, Love Will Conquer All.
Lionel. That's baby. Hits. Decades of hits.
Hey, you know it. Hey, that's
multi-instrumentalist, songwriter. That's the man.
Man. And then he crossed so many genres, too. It's,
man, mm-hmm. you know real. What I'm saying? Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. He country, mm-hmm. R&B, soul.
You know, he played the piano on Sister. You clown up from The Color Purple.
Oh wow!
He's been playing the piano. He co-wrote that with Rod Temperton.
You know what? That made some stuff make sense.
He co-wrote that with Rod Temperton. That's him playing the piano.
That makes a lot of sense, though. When we talk about what we got on the block next week, man, bring that up again. That's tight.
You got a pen?
Yeah.
way my mind work.
You know what I'm saying?
I be forgetting.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's up. Hey, but today, this health thing been kind of on my mind. So from the 1970s.
And we get old.
Right? Yeah. From the 1970s, when Weight Watchers stepped onto the scene, to the low-fat, low-carb movement of the 80s and the 90s, to the paleo and vegan lifestyles of today, health and weight loss trends have continued to grow as an industry and influence the food markets here in the States and abroad. My question is, are Americans really eating and living healthier lives?
I think we're trying to.
Yeah?
I think we're more aware. You know better, you do better.
Okay.
You know? It goes back to what we were kind of talking about off mic. You know, the whole marketing thing, the power thing.
Yeah.
You know, so the power is in people trying to be healthy. So now you see a lot of healthy options.
Yeah.
You know, outside of just crap, people are aware that, you know, red meat and saturated fats and all this stuff is unhealthy.
Right.
we're microwaving food, like we're more organic. we want to know the source of our food. We know packaged food and with all the salt added to it is not healthy. So we're aware now, just like with cigarette smoke. You know, people used to smoke cigarettes all the time. It was the cool thing.
Yeah.
Be on airplanes, it'd be on TV shows and interviews. Everybody smoking a cigarette. It was no big deal until we started understanding that it's unhealthy.
I think the way that food is being processed, it doesn't allow us to have healthier options. We think we have them.
Yeah.
But I think our food is processed for quantity, not quality.
All right.
And so there's just so much going on with the food.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it kind of hard for us to really stay on track.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, and the food industry is allowed to tell us so many lies in our packaging, right? No sugar when you know good and well there's tons of sugar.
Right.
You know, low fat when, you know, it could be low fat, but the sodium levels are through the roof. So, you know, you might be missing out on fat, but you might have a heart attack later on down the line.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many things that are going on with the food. I think the
processing
has really changed for us.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm seeing in the research is that although we have all these healthier food options and we have these different, you know, paleo diets, vegan diets and stuff like that, as Americans, we're getting fatter and fatter.
Mm-hmm.
The obesity level is rising, although we're supposed to be getting healthier and healthier.
Right.
Obesity is rising. Illnesses are rising.
Diabetes is
rising, right? So we have all this sickness coming out of it, although we're supposed to be eating better, but the sicknesses are still taking over. And we look at, like, how much you have the exercise trends and, like, people trying to find time in their day to exercise and stuff like that. But when you look back in time, I feel like there's this, once again, the same way Will likes to bring up Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Technology has this effect on so much, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I tend to bring up technology, but I'm looking at in the 50s, people had to walk more.
Mm-hmm.
People did their laundry outside.
Right. And it was like exercise doing your laundry.
It was exercise during your day, right? Right.
Just doing the laundry.
Cleaning your houses.
Yeah.
Going to work. You didn't have the machine, the robot arms. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just the whole, you know, non-movement of our lifestyle is
well, really people worked and lived in the city, worked and lived in the same city, too. You know, so, you know, you have people that are driving 2 and 3 hours to get to a work.
Mm-hmm.
To school,
right?
You, your time to yourself is decreases,
right?
You know, so you're looking for quick options,
right?
And so, I think healthy eating, healthy and diet are two different things.
Speak on.
Because you can have a diet that's not healthy.
That's right.
You know, any diet, all diets work. You know, if you follow them, because it's just no, for real. Because
it's just true.
Because the way that you lose weight is you take in less calories and you push out. That's all that it is.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, when people go on a diet, it doesn't mean they're eating less healthy. You could have a Big Mac a day and lose weight.
And lose weight,
but you're unhealthy because you have all this crap in you.
That's right.
And a lot of things, like anything we purchase in a box is going to be processed.
Right.
And so anything that's frozen vegetables is processed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people are more aware now. Mm-hmm. It still might be difficult to do it because cheaper options usually come in crappy food because those are like you were saying, they're mass produced.
Yes.
At a cheaper cost.
Mm-hmm.
Like McDonald's or any fast food restaurant, all that stuff is processed because they had to keep it on the shelves longer,
mm-hmm.
you know, for it to stay, quote unquote, for it to live longer, so they can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, people are more aware. I know I try not to buy stuff that's in a box. I try not to buy stuff that's frozen,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless it's ice cream. But for the most part, it's like, I think people are aware, but it's just, it's still a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And people still have that, still have the issue of, I need something quick. And that's where we usually fall down, you know, or they give themselves these cheat days, which kind of lead themselves into a cheat week and
right.
to a cheat month. You know, and then everybody says, well, everybody says, I'm going to get back on my diet. I'm going to get back on my diet.
Right, if they're on a diet,
is it really, does it make a difference if the food is pumped full of hormones?
Right.
And, you know, the things that the animal eats, they're being transferred into our fat cells, right?
That's right. Not only just that, but even the, and that's why you have the vegan trend. I mean, you know, the vegetarian, I want to say. Well, there's so many of them. You know, pescatarian.
What is that? That's a new
fish.
One.
You got pescatarian. That's just fish. Then you have the lacto.
I've never even heard about that one. No milk, no dairy.
No dairy.
Then you have the ovo, which is
no eggs.
No eggs.
No ovaries.
You have the lacto ovos. Then you have the polotarians, which is just the chicken. I mean, you know, the poultry, but no fish. Then you have the vegetarians. Then you have the vegans, which is strict. And you don't even wear the animal.
They don't even wear
the You don't wear leather anymore.
Yeah, that's a true vegan. A true vegan is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's more a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because people say, what's the difference between vegan and vegetarian? Vegetarians, they still eat dairy for the most part.
Well, as you
get older, they'll still eat cheese.
Leather is nice to your toes as you get older. I'll tell you that much. Because it gives and it stretches.
Right.
I'm wearing it.
It is extreme. A lot of people that do say vegan just strictly mean diet.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, diet is, you know, you can follow and diet, lose weight, doesn't mean you're going to be healthy.
True.
That's right.
You know,
it doesn't.
And just because you eat healthy doesn't mean you're going to be small, but you might be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it's two different goals people are trying to obtain.
Yeah.
Like my goal is to be healthy. So I try not to focus. I focus on what I'm eating, not for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did that diet a couple of years ago and I dropped 70 pounds in like 5 months.
But that's when you were doing that other.
I was doing a 500.
What was that called? When you did the.
The workout.
The workout.
It was afterward because I did the diet. It was strictly 40 days.
Okay.
With 500 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went. It forced me to start eating healthy because it was strictly
all
not necessarily organic, but it was nothing frozen.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like protein, vegetables, and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And what it helped me learn was that if we pay attention to what we eat,
mm-hmm.
we will do better.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the main thing. Because it's like, you know what? I know the difference now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to throw it, especially when you start feeling it in your body.
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to eat this because this is crap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And anything that you, I also look at too, if you can't put it in a blender and blend it up mm-hmm. and eat it,
mm-hmm.
like would you throw meat in the blender and then drink it up, you know, or like compared to vegetables and fruit?
That's right.
You know, it's a difference. And you kind of look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I'm not going to blend up, you know, a steak
right.
and drink it.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah. but that's kind of how I look at it.
Right? Yeah. That's a good way. Let me ask you this thought. How much harder is it to eat healthy in terms of your finances, though?
Well, I think the less money you have, the less calories you're going to take it anyway, right?
No, I don't know. Not necessarily. No. Because now you have people that's forced to dollar menus, and you have people that's forced to, like, certain neighborhoods, even the fruits and vegetables aren't quality. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go to one and it's like great, and I go to another one, it's terrible.
It's horrible.
And it costs more at the one in the inner cities.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I was moving a young woman into the home, her new home, this week.
Yeah.
With her three kids, and I think she's got 2 7-year-old twins and a 9-year-old. And to me, she was really well put together on the surface, but as I was dropping her off, she asked me if I'd take her grocery shopping.
Okay.
And then the next question was, will you help me pick out things that I can buy that'll stretch, you know?
Right.
And so my mind first goes to like staples that you have and then things that are fresh that you have to buy every day and things that get frozen, you know? And so when I mentioned, make sure you have beans and rice,
mm-hmm.
she was like, yeah. But the way I was raised,
beans, rice, and potatoes.
Beans were my friend.
Right.
I mean, I would have a drawer full of different types of beans, peas, lentils, and you can make a meal. You can go from there. I would start the meal with that
mm-hmm.
and then build around it, whether there is meat
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or fish or something that you put with it. But, you know, the mentality of the people today, it doesn't go to that.
Yeah.
You know, just because I was raised by a woman raised on a farm who would go out and pick things and only and cook with certain foods, you know? And to me, it's like if you don't have that much money and it's just you or it's just you and a couple of kids, you really don't need that much if you really want to eat healthy.
Okay.
But who wants to now? Who wants to sit and cook a meal?
Right.
Who has time?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Who knows how to fit a meal in, cooking time and prepping time in with getting your kids out if you're a single parent. Yeah. I mean, it, so much goes into it.
They
got to
learn that crock pot.
Right. Crock pot was my best friend, darling.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, get that crock pot. You throw it in at night, you wake up in the morning, the house smells like a whole new place.
Yeah,
you know, you get your day started, you get your little meal made. But who has time to go back to those old school values of preparing and getting things out and, you know, thinking ahead of time?
That's real.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and even if it's not that, you know, I don't eat that much because I don't have that much money. Like you said, it's not true because we got dollar menus, you know, that are so quick. It's a buck.
You can get 10 nuggets for a dollar.
That's what I'm saying.
That ain't chicken. It's just nuggets. They don't ever, it's not chicken, it's nuggets.
What part of the chicken is the nugget?
It's not chicken.
I thought it was the breast.
It's nugget. It's not chicken.
I thought it was nugget breast.
Nugget
breast.
You ever see them farms with the chickens rolling around in the cages and everything?
And say again?
You ever seen like the farms with the chickens rolling around? Uh-huh. That's not them.
That's not where it come from.
Ew.
Yeah, I thought it came from breaking up the breast, but I guess
don't even want to think about
it. Yeah, it just
nah.
Yeah,
or like when it's like particle board.
Or like when you go to Chinese restaurants and it's like the chicken is long and stringy. Like, how they do that?
Oh, that's not.
It's chicken. Like a chicken ball.
I seen a documentary on that. I ain't gonna get into all that, but that's.
There's another one I seen on bacon too.
That's called the other white meat.
Chicken and bacon.
It's called the other white meat. I'm just trying to tell you. Now, here's the thing. And that's the thing when you talk about diet. You know what I'm saying? Even what they eat.
Garfield.
You know what I'm saying? Even what they eat. But it's a trip because you talk about it when you talk about diets and they refer to the different meats. It's like red meat, white meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's not specific.
No.
No.
Because to me, all animals bleed. Hey. So, why is this red?
You know what I'm saying? Red meat, white meat. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, I get what they're saying. Like, when you cut a steak, it's red.
Mm-hmm.
You cut some chicken, it's paler.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? But when you cut a cat, it's pale, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So is a rat.
Right. But
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. So just put some salt and pepper on it, some Lowry's.
Little Lowry's.
Put out Lowry's. Everything is amazing.
They come out stringing and wiggling. But yeah. Yeah, I think it's a challenge, but I also think that it's important that at this particular stage that we start looking at, because I think diet is one thing, like you say, well, eating healthy is one thing, but I feel like being active is probably the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz there was a time period where I was vegan.
Me too. I did a good three solid months.
Yeah, I actually did a couple years. And now I wasn't the extreme one because I didn't go into my clothes.
Gotta have my gaiters.
Like yeah, I had to rock my gaiters.
Had to get my gaiters.
Actually, I wasn't even rocking gaiters then. I was still capping on people that rode gaiters.
I had ostrich leather shoes.
but I just wasn't even in that mindset. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you what I had that was made out of whatever. Like, I wasn't thinking about it. It was just about what I put in me. But the difference was there was the other period where I was doing some bodybuilding, and we ate. We ate mm-hmm. meat. We ate vegetables, like it was, you know, it was a lot of baked chicken, mm-hmm. a lot of broiled chicken, a lot of fish, but we were going to the gym
mm-hmm.
regularly, mm-hmm. and so
well, that was your fuel.
Yeah, and the opposite was the two dynamics during that same period, cause, and they were really back to back. It was a trip. Is I was very thin as a vegan, mm-hmm. very thin, but my energy level wasn't right. Because I wasn't doing the high doses of working out.
You didn't have no protein in you.
You know what I'm saying? Well, we ate the beans. We, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We did all that. The eating was there. Of course, we didn't have all the different recipes
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
they have now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But the eating was right. But it's just I didn't have a strong workout regimen going on with it. But then the flip side is when we were working out mm-hmm. steadily but still eating, the energy level was super high.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was bulked up, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. it was like, it was just real contrast to like the two lifestyles. One internally, I probably was probably eating better,
mm-hmm.
but I felt better when the activity was there. So yeah. It feels like I tend to believe that that activity is probably one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, you do have to be considerate of what you put inside.
I know when I did.
Because you are what you eat.
When I did my diet, I couldn't work out.
Okay.
Because I didn't have enough calories in me. And so I couldn't work out. So if I worked out, I would pass out.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't have energy while I was on the diet. It took me about a week to get used to it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I finished, I increased the calorie intake. I didn't change the diet. I just increased the calorie intake. So instead of three, I was weighing my food. Like, so instead of 3.5 ounces of chicken, I went to 6 ounces of chicken.
Yeah.
So I like doubled everything, went from 500 to like 2,000 calories a day. And then I started working out.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't bulking up, but I was getting leaner and I was getting more cut.
Yeah.
You know, so like it was weird that there was no energy while I was on the diet because that was a lack of calories. But soon I started working out and did them both together because they do go in. When you work out, your body's craving it.
Yeah.
Your body's craving the calories, right. You know, for it to put in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so your body almost tells you you need this, you need this.
Right.
But things have changed also because it's easy. There's more options for us when we shop. There's more options. There's more vegan options that weren't there before.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say I think we are aware now. Overall, generally speaking, we're more aware that when we go out, we actually see the options of here's a vegan option. Even Carl's Jr. now has a vegan burger on there.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's like there is a push for it. You know, I don't know how reliable a Carl's Jr. vegan burger is. But, I mean, there's an attempt out there and people are trying. You know, so I think, you know, 5-10 years from now, it'll be even better. There's vegan soul foods in Oakland.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you feel like, I was looking at a conversation, I'm not going to shout out the show, but do you feel like vegan and plant-based diets are based in whiteness?
No.
In whiteness.
No.
Should people of color be living...
Yeah.
Vegan.
And not only that, I think it's more natural to us.
Okay.
And if you look at a lot of cultures outside of Europe, they're more plant-based. Yeah, the Mediterranean diets, you know, Indians who live vegan, vegetarian lifestyles, that's how they eat. You know, they don't really eat a lot of meat. And even in Africa, they do the goat. But a lot of, you know, it's a lot of plant-based diets, and I think that's more naturally who we are.
Right.
I think if you look at the way our teeth are made, we were made to eat meat. Mm. Our teeth in the back are made for grinding and smashing. Mm. Our canines are made for ripping and tearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were made to eat meat. The amounts of meat we were made to eat not be as...
And what meats, right?
Yes, it may not be... We may not be eating the right types of things, but I think we're made. I think we're meat eaters by nature. But I think that we're just become excessive as people, as a culture. We're just excessive in so many different ways, and we just go too far, you know, a lot further than we should be with a lot of things. And so I think that has something to do with, you know, just the sicknesses, obesity rates, all that stuff. It's just if we were just a little more moderate. Mm-hmm. With things, I think we'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. It's Generation X, KCBZ.
Thank you.
Rock,
you know what I'm saying?
Man, I missed the 80s.
And Christopher Cross was Sailing. You're listening to Generation X. That song always makes you
feel good. Mm-hmm.
It feels good.
It will take it away.
It's beautiful song.
It will take whatever it is away.
Yes.
I mean, he just says sailing.
Right.
Sailing away.
That's it.
He just say, where are we going? Nothing. Yeah. Just sailing.
Right. Kind of wonder if just cruising and sailing ended up how we got here now.
And you think about it, I mean, because if you think about it, sailing really isn't a calm thing. Like, you have to bust your ass.
And he made it seem really smooth.
Yeah, like you just walk straight up on the boat and just lay back. Right. No, that's some hard work.
He wasn't sailing. He was floating.
He was floating.
He was on a yacht. He was on a yacht and he was lying. Yeah, they had a motorized boat.
Let me ask this. We're talking about eating healthier living. Should we be looking at the macro effects as well, though? I mean, we have the micro effects of how we eat and how it affects us personally, but what about the macro effects of how it affects the planet?
We should be. It's very important.
When we consider our eating.
Yeah, because the farm, I mean, it's scientific fact that the farms, what is it, the... each to feed a cow is like 100. I don't even know the number, but they use up a lot of water and resources to feed one cow.
Right.
You know, and it's going into the destruction of our company because these farms are huge, especially the corporate farms.
Yes.
They use up a lot of resources.
Yeah. Deforestation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. They take cutting out all the trees just to build these huge farms.
Mm-hmm. And just feeding the cows themselves, you know, it takes up a lot of energy because, like you were saying earlier, it's mass production. They're trying to get all these things done. And then you're feeding them all these pesticides, what's going into the air is coming into our food. So it's it's an effect on our globe in general, especially in this country, because we produce the most waste. And, you know, if I would have read up. Before I not know the words, but I don't want to be misleading.
The cows actually, you know, they burp in gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is actually 18% of our methane contamination in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's adding to our global warming, right? 18% is higher than transportation alone.
Mm-hmm.
So just the cows are producing more methane than transportation.
That's crazy.
And what's sad is because a lot of the Republicans, especially the ones that were at CPAC, were speaking. They take this and they twist it and miseducate people.
Yeah.
Because when I'll just say Democratic House members, legislators come out and say that we have to look at these different things, they turn around and say, oh, they want to get rid of your hamburgers, you know?
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
You know, and so it's like, no, it's like, it's, you have to understand that this stuff is destroying us as a country. When we know better, we do better.
That's right.
But the person that's making that statement probably owns 5 to 10 farms.
It's not even,
has money invested. You know, or they're a partnership in a farm like that. So you may think it's just a comment that they're throwing out there, but they're really making a lot of money off of us still eating beef.
Well, it's even deeper than that. They're lobbied by these farms now, so they're in the pocket of these farms.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah, that's to enrich them. And so the sad part is that it's an off comment. They know that they're lying, but their constituents don't know that. And that's where the problem comes in, because you have these people become angry and upset that you're trying to take away my hamburgers, you know, so they attack instead of listening to what the facts are, because the people that are legislating in their areas are misinforming them, you know, and that's a big problem, because you have all these people who think that, you know, we're trying, that things are trying to be taken away from them instead of trying to educate them for their own well-being.
Right.
Like, we're in a crisis right now. Global warming is a crisis right now. Mm-hmm. And they're nonchalant about it. And I think that's a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. For a dollar.
Yeah, for a dollar. Yeah, that's I think it's huge. I think we have to look at all of the micro and the macro effects of mm-hmm. our eating. Mm-hmm. And we need to really get into educating people, mm-hmm. right? Because I think it's one thing, but I feel like us as a African American community need to realize what's going on too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, and we're waking up more and more knowing. So I guess I say that slowly because I don't like to make it seem like we're always doing the people that don't know. You know what I'm saying? And that's not the case. But I feel like we also have to look at how do we begin to take care of ourselves mm-hmm. and how do we begin to take care of this planet mm-hmm. as a whole, and who do we reach? And you get what I'm saying? Who is our audience? Who are we listening to? Who's listening to us? Who, you know, being realistic in that mm-hmm. and making sure that we're tapping in and educating.
Which is a frustrating thing, especially now when we're in this political season when people say, have a can say, what are you going to do for the black agenda, as if global warming isn't a black that's important to me.
Right, that's important.
I want to breathe clean air.
That's what I'm saying. That's you know? What I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt. Well, hey, the discussion is open. It's something that can be continued.
Mm-hmm. You know what's crazy? I have not had chicken in over a year. I have not had beef in probably 2 years.
Really?
Man, I miss bacon. It's been a good 4 years.
So, would you say, what are you, pescatarian or?
I do, like shrimp. I will eat every now and then. Uh huh. But I try to just have that plant based and organic. Okay. Mainly. Okay. You know, I never say I'm a vegetarian or a vegan.
Isn't that a pescatarian?
Pescatarian is seafood, right?
And when I do have meat, it is fish.
Okay.
For the most part, but. I go back and forth between vegetarian, pescatarian.
Okay.
Like, I might go a whole day. I'm like, I'm vegan today. You know?
Right.
Or I'm going to have some shrimp today.
Yeah.
But I don't strictly stay in those. I just know I don't. Red meat, processed foods, I try to stay away. Okay. And I look at those as the same. And the hardest thing, though, is dairy. Dairy is the hardest one to stay away from.
To stay away from.
Because it's in everything.
Yeah.
And I love cheese. Yeah. I mean, some smoked Gouda.
Oh man,
that's some good stuff. That's right there.
Man, that Gouda right cheese.
Yeah.
It is Gouda.
Yeah. I've continued to go back and forth between pescatarian and just eating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It fluctuates.
I'm just eating dinner tonight.
I would give about 50% of my year to pescatarian and 50% of my year to just what's on the plate. You know what I'm saying? Minus pork. I don't eat pork. Make sure I say that for all them Hebrew brothers that's listening to me. Yeah. Like, what you mean, brother? You said. Yes. But yeah. But yeah, man. Hey, the conversation's open. I think we should come back and talk more on this, especially talk about sugar.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should.
Especially processed sugar.
Yeah.
Very addictive.
I think we should bring that in.
I think it's worse than cigarettes.
Keep it locked, man. We're going to bring that back on another one. It's Generation X, KCBZ.
Wait! Stop! Don't eat that food!
Who are you? What are you doing in our house?
I'm from the future. I'm here to warn you, don't eat that food.
Why not?
The eggs, they're full of cholesterol.
What?
Cholesterol, it clogs up your arteries. Eating even just one egg can dramatically increase your chance of heart attack. Don't eat eggs.
Oh my God, thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait! Stop!
We were wrong about the eggs. It turns out there's two types of cholesterol. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and eggs actually have both. So you can eat eggs, but just don't eat the egg yolks. So stick with the egg whites.
Thank you.
Wait! We were wrong about the eggs!
Again?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so it turns out that the amount of cholesterol in a food doesn't actually affect how much cholesterol ends up in your blood. The eggs are probably fine. In fact, we sort of don't even know what cholesterol is.
But the steak! You can't eat the steak!
Why not?
Turns out that red meat increases your chance of heart attack. You have to cut out red meat. So no steak!
Thank you.
Wait! We were wrong about the steak. It's the toast. Man was not meant to eat bread.
What do you mean man was not meant to eat bread?
Well, if you think about it, human beings should really only be eating what our Paleolithic ancestors ate. So, therefore, no bread, no toast.
How do you know what our Paleolithic ancestors ate?
Well, we just have to guess, right? I mean, we don't have any way of knowing. Okay, went back to the Paleolithic. They are not doing well. I don't know what we were thinking. If anything, we should all be eating a lot more bread. Jeez. So I guess just ignore everything I've said and exercise.
Exercise, okay.
Turns out it's genetic. Doesn't matter whether you exercise or what you eat. I'm sorry I ruined your meal.
Always going so restless. Bad boy, bad boy.
Lover, man,
freak,
yeah. you like that record?
Just throw Luther in the background and make it okay.
Hey,
you can't go around cheating, Stevie.
Hey,
but I can't see what I'm doing.
Hey, there's some great cheating songs. Yeah, there's some great cheating songs. And the thing about it is, they just make them sound so great that everybody is singing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
at the wedding,
you be singing it with the person cheating on you.
Exactly.
Like. Yeah, that's my song, Part Time Lover. And you're sitting there like, yeah, that's my song too, baby.
I'll see you later, baby. Yeah, I'll be back.
I'll be back. Listen to this record. I just got you this new record.
Like, the first song we gonna dance to at our wedding, our first dance as husband and wife, is Reasons.
Right. Right.
Like, that's the
first song we at the wedding. It's gonna be Reasons. Like, off top. I'm just letting you know.
I'm just letting you know.
Why are you cheating on me? Look. I told you a long time ago that first dance.
Right. That was our first record. You agreed.
You was two-stepping with me.
Yeah. You agreed. Yeah. Until she turned around and do it, then it's a problem.
Exactly.
Hey. Yeah, that flashbacks. Anyway, so, not to cheating, to the childhood that we're about to talk about next.
Always.
Yeah, see how he just went. Like, wait a minute, be careful how you say stuff. My children always look forward to the next holidays. On one hand, I think it's about them not wanting to go to school. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, they really like being around their family, right? So, thinking back to my childhood, we had some great times around the holidays, but I don't know if I still feel the same way.
That's called getting old.
Is it, though? Yeah. Is it? I wonder. Like, because the thing is, it feels like for me back when we had the holiday seasons, the older people were enjoying it then, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's different.
Talk to me.
It's just like everything else. Everybody's busy.
It's too busy to Everybody's enjoy busy. A holiday.
Yeah. Because your mind is constantly on tomorrow.
Man.
Families aren't as tightly knit as they were back in the day, too. Mm. I don't really see as much.
Everybody's busy.
The younger generation,
yeah,
on both sides of my family, we don't get together like our grandparents did.
Yeah.
You know, like grandma and all her siblings, all 13 of them, they would all get together and have their kids and their kids' kids and things like that. But the younger generation, we don't do that.
We dropped the ball.
Yeah, we don't make sure we have family reunions like the elders did.
But think about it. They had a lot of time to put towards those things. You know, it's like grandma was probably at home. I didn't grow up with a grandma like that. But my aunt, my mom's older sister, there's like a 17-year difference.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of my cousins, we were the same age, but that was their grandmother. So she was like the matriarch. You know, right. Thanksgiving was at our house. You know, it was a bunch of us. I would always go over there. So now, because everybody's working, she wasn't necessarily working. Or she was working in the house.
Right.
You know, and she was preparing meals. And everybody go up there a couple of days before, like on Thanksgiving, a couple of days before, and start preparing food and getting stuff ready. Who's doing this and who's doing that? Like now, because everything is so global and everything, all the communication is instantaneous, we spend so much time outside of communicating because we communicate, we can communicate all the time with each other
through texting.
It gives a false sense of, you know,
if I hung out with him.
Yeah. Mm. You know, and so now this, it's just hard. Our time is limited and just non-existent.
Well, all the women I looked up to and were around, they all worked, every last one of them.
Right.
Well,
made time for family, and they made time for cooking and having people enjoy their home and getting together. I think they just made time. It was more important to them because they came from a time period before technology.
Yeah.
You know, they just came from a different time period. They spent more time together. They made time for each other.
Right.
And there was like no other option to do that. Like, I would listen to my cousins talk and there was like, you know, there was a big family and they would say how, you know, we didn't really need friends because there were so many of us, you know, mm-hmm. we had each other. We were like a crew, you know, and I think that us as a society, we've gotten further away from that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. There's just not as much interacting together. People don't really spend time like they used to. You know, we're too right. busy. We think we're too busy. We say things are going on. We're too stressed out. We have too much on our mind, too much on our plates.
Right.
You know, and we don't really stop and smell the roses as much, I don't think.
Yeah. Because there's no time to. I mean, if you really look at it, work is not an 8-hour thing no more. Work is not 8 hours. You don't go to work at 9 and get off at 5. Because of, like you were saying, technology, now Bob is emailing you about a report. You know, at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. and now you're at home working on your laptop, and now it's midnight and you're still working your laptop, and now you're sitting on the train going to work working your laptop. So there's no time, and because everything, the cost of living has gone up so high, mm-hmm. and the incomes have not followed, mm-hmm. and so you have to put in more work. So now people are not just working one job, they're working two and three jobs, mm-hmm. to sustain the same lifestyle that people that could have one job in the 70s had. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, there's more demands on us because there's you look at the cost of living, the price of everything has gone up, wages have stagnated, and people are just trying to survive, and it's taking up more time. You know, the hour in the day, we're using more of that hour, more of that those hours in each day just to survive. And it's stressful because right. people are losing home. We had a great recession in 2009 when black wealth was pretty much eradicated because people were losing homes.
Right.
Because of the markets were crashing, a lot of wealth was lost. Mm-hmm. And we got to a point where we spent trying to come out of that, but we're taking on so much just to survive. And so I don't think people not want to. It's like they have to stay ingrained in working because if they don't, they're not going to eat. They're not going to be able to just live. You know, it's hard to take time off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with just living.
All right, so that brings me to two questions.
So my favorite holiday was Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you just said and what Keisha just said makes me think of two questions, but the first one, I think I'm going to have to ask this one first. Would you blame the decrease in making time for holidays on us, as in Generation X, or our parents? Because I noticed that we spoke about the grandparents being the ones to be kind of going over the grandparents' house and them keeping it together.
Mm-hmm.
So then, okay, now it goes into the next being our parents. Is it that our parents didn't keep that going, or is it that they kept it going, but then Generation X didn't keep it going?
I think our parents didn't keep it going as much as our grandparents did.
Okay.
And I think then But we had a good example of what we were supposed to do from our grandparents, but we just dropped the ball totally. I think we're just more of a selfish, not selfish generation, but we're just more into, you know, just worrying about ourselves as opposed to our grandparents.
Mm.
Their generation, I think they were more family oriented. I think they had to work hard too, but I think, our generation has just gotten away from being healthy outside of physical health, mentally, spiritually healthy, mm-hmm. and having things to kind of balance us out so that we don't get burned out by these corporations, because mm-hmm. that's what they do mm-hmm. to people. They chew them up and they spit them out. But if you don't have a balance for you, something that you use to keep you healthy, if you don't have a good toolbox, I think that you get caught up and you yeah. start to feel like the things that were important just aren't, and you just don't have time, when really I think we can control that and kind of make time. Mm. And we have to step out of that. You know, we have to step back and say, hey, look, I need this day today for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like whatever this company's doing, they're going to be fine. They're going to business as usual. But yeah. I think that we kind of like mentally train ourselves to think that, no, that company's going to crumble if I'm not here. So I've got to do this. I've got to work my fingers to the bone and be stressed out, you know?
And that's ironic because, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say piggyback. I think it's even bigger than that. Not the company's going to fall, but if I take off Christmas, I might lose my job. It's a high anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because people are afraid to go to lunch at work. Mm-hmm. Remember, you used to go to lunch at work. People are afraid to do that. Mm. People are afraid to leave at 5 because the next person next to me is going to stay till 5:05. And they're going to look at that. I might lose my job. It's a high anxiety because we have two situations where we've seen this economy in the 2000, early 2000, 2009, where we had a recession or a depression when you lose your home. We've seen it. We don't want to lose our jobs. It's this mm-hmm. race to the bottom mm-hmm. because the person next to me is going to come up and take that job. Mm-hmm. And so there's an anxiety of if I put time into myself, which is why women have a hard time in the workforce because when they become pregnant and want to take off, that's frowned upon. Mm-hmm. We're just now getting to a point where that's accepted, mm-hmm. where women can take off. But if she's always getting pregnant and taking off, she's not a value to our company, so we're letting her go. Mm-hmm. It's a high anxiety, and I think that's seeped into our outside lives, outside of work.
How does that, here's my question then, because when we talk about Generation X is the generation that like kind of sparked the concept of I'm going to work in my own time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Generation X is the one, like the boom of self-employment, the boom right. of I'm starting my own business, right. the boom of I'm doing things my way. And then with that boom, there's less time for family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So how does that work if it's like we're the generation that says we can run our time, but are we choosing that when we're choosing what to do with our time, has family become less important?
I don't know if it's less important. I think we were kind of the test case because we were the first one to kind of go out and do that. And you see the generations coming up now mm-hmm. and you see all these tech companies come up and they demanded, I need my ping pong table in here.
Yeah.
I need my free lunch. If you go to these tech companies, they have these big, huge restaurants.
We need daycare here.
Yeah, they have these restaurants.
Nap rooms. You can go nap. Okay.
And so I think what they saw is we're getting overworked. I need a work-life balance. Okay. And so you see that coming back now. You have a lot of these tech companies that are addressing that. Mm-hmm. You know, by Google, you have nap pods that you can go sleep in. Mm-hmm. You go to LinkedIn, they have huge restaurants where the lunch is free.
Yeah.
You know, so it's these things where we were kind of the test case. We went through it. Okay, this is what problem. Just like the generation before us signing music contracts. Mm-hmm. They're getting done over and over. So now we start to understand we need to have ownership of masters. We need to have ownership of this. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of go through that struggle so the people behind us say, okay, these are the problems. This is where it failed. And so
will that lead back to us having better holidays?
I think we're moving towards that.
Okay.
I think we're slowly moving mm-hmm. towards that.
I can see that too.
Yeah.
But I think it is just this, the full process of everything going through and just trying to get it right. Because I think it's the fact that we've been talking about it and mm-hmm. are aware of that, I mm-hmm. think it's slowly getting back to that.
Okay.
Because just things you're saying, like, man, we have dropped the ball, but it's not because I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. It's because when I had that day off, I'm tired. Yeah. You know? It's just like, for me, it's work to kind of get together and go set up with your family. And then all of a sudden it comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dang, I didn't do it. You know, it's not because I didn't want to. It's just like I was sleepy
right.
on Christmas. You know, I couldn't even get up to get over the, you know, to yeah. get to the family. Yeah. You know, so it's like now all of a sudden I got to be back at work the day after.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot. And I think we're slowly starting to understand and get back to that.
That's what's up. Keep it locked. This Generation X.
So long, you and me been finding each other for so long, and the feeling that I feel for you is more than strong, girl. Take it from me, if you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key, darling mine. I would wait forever for those lips of wine. Build my world around you, darling. This love will shine, girl. Watch it and see if you get. got some puppet on a string.
I just want to be your everything.
EBGB.
Brother Andy Gibb doing what he do. Written by Barry Gibb.
They all dead, ain't they?
I think Barry.
One of them is still alive.
Barry is still the last one.
I think they were underrated. They was, you know, can you be recognized and underrated at the same time?
Yes. I think the thing is they were recognized, but I think they got most of their accolades from the disco era,
and I think that kind of hurt them,
and it hurt and helped because it blew them up. But at the same time, they were actually just as big as the Beatles at one point because they did similar music. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They came from, you know, they were in competition with the Beatles
because they were dope.
And then they just kind of, but I think the disco era just kind of took
that Saturday Night Fever. Mm-hmm. Saturday Night Fever was like they kind of became that. What they were known for.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they unsung and praised.
Unsung and praised at the same time.
Good music.
So what actually you touched on it, Will. What was your favorite holiday?
Christmas. And my birthday.
Christmas and your birthday. why so?
I like Christmas just because it made me feel good. I just felt good.
Yeah.
And I know that I like that feeling. Mm-hmm. I can't describe it, but I like the feeling of going to bed early and anticipating waking up and having gifts. Just not necessarily the gift. I can't remember the gifts. I just remember the feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being excited and opening up presents. And I also I like to give gifts. Yeah. And so I still enjoy it now.
Yeah.
And I still probably, you know, to a detriment to myself, go all out on Christmas for my kids, you know. And I know it's probably terrible, but I like doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm just, that's just me.
Is that still your favorite one? That Christmas is still your mm-hmm. favorite one?
Yep.
Okay. Nice.
I don't know if it's still the same. I don't think my kids get the same out of it that I did when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I hate that. I hate that they don't get the same joy and the same anticipation. It's not, you know, as big to them. They were so nonchalant about it this year.
Yeah.
until Christmas, though. Christmas morning changed.
Right.
Because like, oh, okay, you have to give me nothing. You know, then all of a sudden they were underneath the tree in the morning like, I wonder what this is.
Yeah.
You know, but I like the feeling that Christmas. And I don't look at Christmas as a religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it as a holiday.
Just a holiday. Yeah.
Like, I don't equate it with Christ and Jesus.
Right.
Just, you know, and I think that's helped me to enjoy it more.
Okay.
And I don't get frustrated because people, this is the reason for the season. Like, yeah, but he was like born in summertime.
Right.
You know? It has nothing to do with Jesus.
Right,
you know?
Right. Got you. Keisha.
Thanksgiving
was yours
mm-hmm.
growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Because I was always with family and lots of food. Mm.
Yeah.
Grandma always threw down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Dressing for years. That's one of my favorites with the gravy. But yeah, just being with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were always around. There was always a lot of food. We were always like laughing, catching up with each other.
Yeah.
And did I say food?
Right.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt, Thanksgiving.
No yeah, for me, mine shifted. Is yours the same still?
Well, you know what? Not so much as we don't get together as much. And usually I work every holiday because I like to get that double time or that time and a half or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so and Grandma's like, girl, don't come down here. I'll send you a plate.
You better go work. You better go get that money.
She doesn't want me to ask. Can I get some help? Can I get a little money? She doesn't want that. So it's better for me just to go to work. Yeah. But you know what? I kind of went back and forth in between Easter and Thanksgiving for the very same reasons. It had nothing to do with religious beliefs. It was just like, we got together. It was always a nice time. You got to help cook.
Get them chocolate eggs.
Like, it was like a bonding period.
Yeah.
Get them chocolate eggs.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate eggs at Easter, yeah.
Chocolate bunnies.
Yeah, mine used to be, I would say it was probably Christmas. And it's what's crazy is right now we're actually broadcasting out of the place I spent my Christmas.
Mm. This is wild.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think about that till just
now. Was the tree right here?
It's right where you are.
Mm.
And the chair that Grandma sat in is right behind where Keisha is at. But yeah, like I never tripped off that. But yeah, it was because that whole family would fit into this space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was the day that everyone came. Mm-hmm. And it was good and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of those families that are, I have a blended family of families, of small families that just said we're going to all be one big family.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like there's only a few of us and there's only a few of this families and all of us would get together.
Yeah.
And so
that's kind of how we were.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, how's that your cousin? Y'all got blood?
Exactly.
Everybody. Really.
Because our moms are best
here.
Friends.
Yeah. And they're here. It's not my sister. It's my cousin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was that. And so that time period was good. But now it's not that. Part of it is due to the religious aspect, because of the information and the truth behind that, you know what I'm saying, on a spiritual level and what that represents. Because, like, I get it. Like, for you, it wasn't connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. For me, it was connected to it. Mm-hmm. So then when that information becomes apparent of the truth behind it, then it loses the connection.
Right.
Yeah.
But then the flip side is also just the family doesn't get together at that same time. Now it's more like, I guess it would be more Thanksgiving now is when when the gathering mostly happens, that I enjoy the food. And it was like Christmas used to be a Thanksgiving celebration and Thanksgiving would just fly by.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Christmas was when the big meals would come out and stuff. So now it seems like Thanksgiving is when that happened. So,
yeah, Thanksgiving was big when I was younger too, because that was like you were saying, was all my cousins and everything. We would all come together.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, like you were saying earlier, like we don't get together like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we talk about it.
Yeah.
But we don't do it. It's like, who's going to spearhead it?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we don't have that matriarchal person anymore.
Yeah.
That we kind of just magnated to, you know, or gravitated towards.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard to do that.
Our matriarch just don't want to do it.
You're
listening to this show, I'm calling you out.
That's the thing, because like, it's my mom. Like, my mom is.
Oh, so he just straight up said, it's our mama.
Mama. What was crazy?
Mama, like, I don't.
What's crazy is because like I was saying, my aunt was 17 years older than my mom.
Yeah.
And so all her kids are the same age as my mom. Mm-hmm. So they're like close ages, mm-hmm. you know. So it's weird because you don't have like a real older person that's kind of like leading the way, or everybody kind of goes to it.
Right.
Yep.
And but it's funny, I flipped on Christmas because it used to be strictly religious, and I would always be like, no, Jesus is the reason for the season, and if you know. But I found myself when I was younger, I'd be faking it. Yeah, you know, let's pray and do all this so I can get my toys.
Right,
you know, it wasn't a genuine thing. It was just like, I'm just going through these motions so I can get to what I want.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I would, you know, you feel like you're supposed to go to church because it's Christmas. And it's like, but then it's like you're saying, you start getting knowledge and understanding, like, okay, I understand what this is all about. Mm-hmm. This is created. Mm-hmm. You know, it was created by, it was a marketing thing, you know, and Santa Claus is a marketing thing.
Yeah. And so we'll tap in that. We'll get into that on another episode.
But the whole point is, I think when you divorce the two and say Christmas is Christmas and, you know, these are two different boxes, it makes it more enjoyable to kind of go through. Because mm-hmm. people get frustrated when you say, no, this is about Jesus and this. And I think people get angry.
Yeah.
And that's just the whole opposite of what it's supposed to be.
One of my fondest memories of Christmas was back in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
The 89 or something. And my father was unemployed and pretty sad. My grandparents had come to Sacramento for that holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of like, it was like a nice evening. We were watching a movie, but I just remember the sorrow in my father's face for not having so much together and just not being working, just, you know, a black man trying to keep his family together.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember getting a knock at the door, right? And I opened it, and it was a Santa's elf.
Mm.
And I looked outside, and I ran back in, went crazy to my mom, like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's out there. And Santa came to the door, and they brought us bicycles. I guess that my school had turned in a letter that we had wrote, right?
Wow.
And my family didn't have a dining room table at the time. We had then gotten one, but they had bought a dining room table for us and bicycles and clothes and everything. And I thought, how nice that was for my teacher to give us that opportunity, because that was one year that we really needed it.
Yeah.
And I just remember the pain in my father's spirit. You know, he was very down and out. And so maybe that's probably why Christmas never really meant that much, because I didn't want him to think that him getting us gifts didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that we were together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and my grandparents were there too. It was like awesome. It was like, grandma and grandpa are here. I mean, that was like the coolest thing for me. Yeah. It wasn't about what he could have gave us.
Yeah.
You know, just him being there.
That's right.
And being a father was pretty magnificent to me. So, that was one of my good memories and weird memories. But, I think the holidays have changed as we've gotten older, right?
Yeah.
Our truths have changed.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we appreciate have changed. We grow. And
people are a lot more pessimistic. Like, I like good stories. And I like Christmas makes us kind of focus on humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally. And I like that aspect of it, too, because people tend to care more.
Right,
you know,
right.
People tend to lend a helping hand more.
Mm-hmm.
And you see things, even though it's sometimes materialistic-based, but you see people caring more and people giving more and trying to have, you know, see joy on people's faces,
mm-hmm.
which is something that should be sustained year-round. Mm-hmm. I know, like, it started back at St. Mary's. Like, sometimes I'll go, like, to Glide. And help out there during Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and just you kind of focus on kind of being charitable, you know, during those times, because you realize I'm in a good place,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what kind of struggles you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm in a good place. There are people that are hungry today.
Yeah,
there are people that need to eat today.
That's right.
You know, and I think it kind of makes us refocus on those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually between Thanksgiving and Christmas that happens. That whole period.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, Christmas at your house next year?
Yeah, no.
Hey, here we go. Here we go. That's what I'm talking about.
You're
going to
have a vegan turkey over there?
Yeah, we're going to have a vegan turkey.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have
I'll
a
be
vegan
there.
Turkey.
Yeah. I'll just have this rice. Y'all didn't put nothing in it, did you? Baked it in pork grease.
Right.
Baked it in pork grease. We're going to fry that.
Sick as a dog when you leave here.
Hey, man. You're going to walk out of here talking about
the best vegan turkey I've ever had. I ain't never had no turkey that good.
You're going to start promoting vegan turkeys.
You need to eat vegan turkey.
What y'all use? Pig fat?
Keep it locked.
We'll be right back.
Yes, yes. Generation X. That was Star Point with Object of My Desire. It is time to get into our game of the day. Today we are playing the 5 second game. I'm going to name a category. You have 5 seconds to name three things from that category. Then hit your stopper to stop the countdown. Get all three before time runs out, and you get a point.
I'm about to lose.
All right, we will start this first one with Will. Look at his face.
Yeah, just weird.
Usually he's sitting up like, I'm nailing it. This is my game. One note. Like
I told you, I played this game at home by myself, and I couldn't get it.
Right. Don't count yourself out, Will.
Don't count yourself out. You got it. You got
no this. Confidence.
All right. Will, name three things that you can get thrown out of a bar for.
Smoking weed, kissing girls.
Kissing. Okay, yeah, he ran out of time there. Smoking weed, kissing girls. You can kiss a girl in a bar, can't you?
Not if you don't know her.
You didn't say assaulting girls. That's you said assaulting women.
Right, that's assault, right?
I only had 5 seconds.
All right, no point there.
But I hit the space bar.
I'd have been like spitting, hitting, and kicking.
Spitting, hitting, kicking. Right, there you go.
Yeah, but you had like 30 seconds
to think about that. All right, here we go, Keisha.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Name three things you should never do in a car.
Cell phone sex and...
You're out of time.
Wait, cell phone sex? I never had cell phone sex.
Cell phone and sex, huh?
Yeah, cell phone sex.
Like, you can do that in the car?
Cell phone, having sex with...
Can you do it while you're driving? I never tried it.
Cell phone sex. I'm going to be playing with that for a minute. Like, I'm writing it
Me
down.
Too. On Monday, I'll be like, cell phone sex. Why did I say that?
I'm writing that right cell next to your sex? Answer. So I can remember that for later. Like, okay, cell phone sex. In a car. Nice. Don't do that.
Not while you're driving.
Not while you're driving. All right, here you go, Will.
It should be 10-second rule, because 5 seconds for generation, we know.
You can do it. You can do it. Here you go, Will. Name your three favorite body parts.
Arm, leg, and head.
Stop the buzzer. There you go.
Oh, he almost let it roll. I was going to say, no point.
No points the kids just going in. He's like, about to let it ride too much. Yep. All right, good job. Okay. There you go. There you go. All right, Keisha.
Okay.
That was hella hard.
That was, he was sick. It was so hard.
You shouldn't say cell phone sex.
I wasn't even sure. I was like, hand. It was like a combination of hand to head.
I think he cheated.
Yeah. Yeah, look at himself.
Pinky finger, thumb finger.
All right, here we go. Keisha, name three things you do when nobody is looking.
Sleep, eat, and work.
Nice, you got it with 1 second left. Way to go.
You work with nobody looking?
Hey, Will. He didn't say there was any specifics to the answers.
What kind of work?
Exactly.
What kind of work you be doing when ain't nobody looking?
Hey, I thought you work with people for a living.
Yeah. maybe her cell phone sex is maybe that's work. That might be work.
All I know is the answers I came up with was completely different.
Oh, God.
Hey, that's work.
It's like, no, I do that with people. No, I do that with people.
Right.
No, I do that with people, too.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right. Y'all both good. 1 point each. Here we go. Will, name three things you say to a cute baby.
Hey, goo-goo-goo-goo. Na-na-na-na. Damn it.
Oh.
I got the space bar.
He would have got it. He just didn't hit it.
Oh, man. That was a good one, though.
That was a good one.
Google, Google.
That was cute to hear you say. He said, Google, Google. Yeah.
He's never going to let you live that down. You know that, right?
But the first thing I put was, ugh.
To a cute baby.
That baby stank.
That's a cute baby.
That's a cute baby. Keisha.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Name three things you wash in the shower.
My hair, my feet, and my butt.
There you go. Hair, feet, and butt. That's good to wash.
I never make it to the feet.
Don't just wash your butt. Wash your whole butt hole.
Yeah, there you go. Get it all.
There you go.
Get that finger.
There it is. All right, Will, here we go. Name three things you take from a hotel room.
The soap, the shampoo, and a towel.
Very nice. There you go. There you go.
Only because I checked out the hotel this morning, I took me some shampoo, soap,
and
towel. All them things.
Shouts out to Budget Inn.
Here we go, Keisha.
Mm-hmm.
Name three words that sound disgusting but aren't.
I don't know what was appropriate to say, so I just said nothing.
Just say it.
Yeah.
Can you think of three words that sound disgusting?
Uh-huh. Fart-ish.
Ugh. That is disgusting.
Your last one, I was going to say, ugh.
Wait, to you?
Yeah. What about moist?
That's like borderline.
No, that's amazing. When something is moist.
It's not disgusting.
I mean, she's ready.
It could mean, or it could just mean.
He wasn't referring to a person.
Yeah, I was.
Necessarily.
But not at all. You know what I'm saying?
Will.
Not at all. I was just talking about a piece of cake.
Yeah, Will.
Well, she's a piece of cake.
There you go. All right, here we go. Will, name three celebrities you had a crush on growing up.
Halle Berry. The other one.
So basically Halle Berry.
No, Halle Berry, Paula Abdul, and I couldn't think of her name. Rosie Perez,
there you go. And then he hit the buzzer.
Yeah.
I
thought I was marrying Paula Abdul, though.
Did you?
Yeah.
That would have been pretty dope.
When I was in junior
high school. That might have been a conflict of age, but.
Was she like?
Yeah.
I think she's closer to my age now. I think back then she was too old.
She was too old.
When I was in junior high school, I thought I was marrying her.
Yeah, yeah. So Paula Abdul was pretty bad.
If she just met me.
She's still bad.
Yeah.
She's still bad. All right, Keisha. Okay. Same question. What three celebrities did you have a crush on growing up?
Will Smith, Ice Cube.
You had a hell of time.
I think we should redo that. I don't know if I really had enough
seconds. I ain't get no recycle questions. You had hella time to do
it. I did have time to think about that. I didn't do it.
Yeah. She was like, it's his turn.
I'm filing my nails under the table.
She's like,
I'm
it's his turn. I'm about to tune out.
Right.
I'm filing my nails, I told you.
That's his question. It ain't mine. That's what's up, man. Keep it locked, man. It's Generation Next, KCBZ.
Baby, you send me. things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know about it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely. But you probably don't think nothing of me. She was right though, I can't lie. She's just one of those corners of my mind. And I just put her right back with the rest. That's the way it goes. Baby, you send me out.
If we go out there and beat that hoe down. Do you
remember? This is my family.
Y'all try my fish cakes?
My plate's full.
My plate's full, too.
Miss Dean can't cook.
As you can see, we really had some good times.
Rev, this is my sister's baby.
Oh, no! This is a mess.
But we've had some bad times, too.
I was fired from my job today.
You don't want to tell a woman it's
a black woman,
especially a black woman. You ain't got a J-O-B.
What are you doing home in the middle of the afternoon?
Don't tell her.
Sometimes.
Why'd you come back here, Faith? What are you gonna do this time?
It seems like no one's ever gonna speak to each other again.
And what are you gonna say, huh?
Can we talk about
what?
Then Big Mama comes to the rescue.
Trying to get everybody together for Sunday dinner, aren't you?
Big Mama wants me to. She knows exactly what to do to bring us all back home.
Soul food cooking is about cooking from the heart.
Bless this bread. Bless this meat. Bless my stomach, cause I was gonna eat.
Fox 2000 Pictures presents.
I was the man. Yeah.
Vanessa L. Williams, Vivica A. Fox, Nia Long, Michael Beach, Mekhi Phifer, and Brandon Hammond.
I am the responsible one. I'm the one who graduated from law school.
And I'm a successful wife and mother.
Will you guys stop?
In a story about the people who make us strong.
That's all y'all's fault. Because all y'all do is fight.
light. Can't you see that?
And the recipe.
I just want to say thank you for always supporting me.
You my sister, girl.
That makes us a family.
I just want you to know.
One finger don't make no impact, but you ball up all them fingers into a fist and you can strike a mighty blow. Yes, this family got to be that fist.
Soul food.
You like that last shot?
Oh, man, that last shot was the bomb.
Just keep doing like that, baby. When you get older, you're going to be able to get a fat contract.
You're going to give me a Lexus, all right?
Lexus.
And a Ferrari, you know what I'm saying?
You're listening to Generation X. This is Eric B. I'm here with Keisha Lewis and Will Sapp. 1997.
Oh, yeah. It was a good year.
1997. Good year. They dropped a film about eating soul food. Mm-hmm. Man.
Dying diabetic coma.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Our struggle.
Our struggle, right?
Grandma had the sugar.
Family, diet,
that whole diet, yeah. Like
our whole show.
Exactly.
Wrapped up in one
Family getting together and helping us kill each other.
Yeah. it was a trip, man. As I was looking at the show, I was like, oh, man, this whole show is just that's soul food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the black family together eating not great food.
And getting sick, high cholesterol.
But sticking together through it all. Right. Like, man, what... Right. What did that movie mean for you at that time? Well,
I was kind of jealous of that movie.
Really?
Because I didn't have that. That wasn't my childhood. Like, we didn't get together on Sundays and have dinner. Mm. So that was different to me.
Mm.
I liked seeing black folks on the screen, but it was something I hadn't seen before. You know, so I was kind of just jealous of not having that. Dang, is that how I sound when I talk?
What do you mean?
My voice.
I missed it. Yeah, you sound like Will.
Is that how I sound? Will y'all hear me? Is this how I sound?
Yes. Did you just hear you all of a sudden?
Something happened. It's like I'm all in my...
Yes.
I'm working on my radio voice. But yeah, like I was saying, I was jealous of that movie because, you know...
This guy...
So for me in the late 90s, you know, all the gang violence and things like that and the crack era kind of going away a little bit and us kind of like being able to see the forest for the through the trees as a younger generation, I think it was a great way of looking back on what we were and what our family gatherings really meant. It wasn't about really what we ate. A lot of times it was about getting together with your loved ones, fighting, loving each other, having differences, explaining to each other how I feel. This makes me upset. You guys think we're perfect on the outside, but I think my husband's cheating. I mean, those are real life issues that people dealt with all the time.
Yeah.
And to me, it really brought it. It really just made us look at what we came from and what we were supposed to do with the time that grandma had us all together.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't supposed to be perfect. We were supposed to fight. We were supposed to disagree. But at the end of the day, we still had each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we still had that foundation.
Yeah.
Whether we liked it or not. They say, what do they say? You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family.
Yeah.
But because I think we were moving further and further away from what our grandparents wanted for us and were trying to show us. So I think it was a good time when this movie came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was a great foreshadowing of what was to come because in the movie you had grandma, you know, leave, pass away. And then you saw the family structure begin to break down. You saw the family splitting apart and they weren't gathering anymore, kind of like we talked about today.
Right.
And then there was this generate the next generation after grandma, which would be us, once again realizing, hey, man, this is what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We have to bring the families back together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like in 97, you know, Ahmad, let's see, I don't know, we're in our early late teens, early 20s, what would that be? Early 20s would have been around the 97s, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in your early 20s, you have this young boy who's
19, to be exact.
He was about 19? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have a 11-year-old boy representing, to me, Generation X.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Saying, hey, you know, there's going to come a time when this thing is going to have to get put back together in order for us to continue to move on.
Right.
And this is us that's going to have to be able to pull these families back together and
tie this knot. It's a lesson that we didn't learn.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of speaking on what we were talking about earlier.
Right. It's like a lesson that we missed. I guess it's part of like we missed it, but then there's also part of like, was it for us to catch then or was it for us to catch now right. that we are in the position
mm-hmm.
of the parents or mm-hmm. of the, you know what I'm saying? Like one of those things where it's like, now it's time to catch it and start pulling these things back together
mm-hmm.
because it's only going the opposite direction from here.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was just interesting because like I was saying, I did so for like how that was that weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like Thanksgiving. So I didn't have it. It wasn't something I came up growing up with outside of just that holiday.
Right.
And so
right.
I couldn't relate to it on that level. Of every Sunday we getting together. That was, you know, both my just parents like, worked,
yeah.
you know, so it was, you know, and I was a latchkey kid, mm-hmm. you know, me and my brother. So it was like we didn't,
mm-hmm.
my parents would cook every now and then, you know, my mom would cook every now and then, but that wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
We're about to sit at the table and have dinner.
Right.
There was never a family sitting down at the table type of thing.
That's right.
And so I think, I don't know how many people grew up like that around that time.
Yeah.
You know, but I felt like that was more normal. So when I saw that was more, it was more fantasy to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't, I wouldn't say I didn't believe it. I just didn't get it.
Just
it
wasn't.
It was cool. But like I was saying, I was jealous.
Yeah.
Like to have that much family together every Sunday.
Right.
And I actually know somebody that knows the person that wrote that movie. Like, so that's truly their family.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It was just something that's outside of me. I don't know if that's a Midwestern and Southern thing.
I was going to tie that in and say, like, I believe that it happened here on a certain mm-hmm. level. Like, because I do know some families that to this day, I actually know some families that to this day, they still gather weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they do. But it was a very large family.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very large family. The grandparent had 10 children
mm-hmm.
and so and their children were all brought up together very mm-hmm. close yeah. all in the same church, and so now their children's children to continue to gather, you know what I'm saying? But it's, and here's my thing though, grandmother is still alive in that situation
mm-hmm.
so my thing is, what happens when grandma is no longer
so I
there?
Think a lot of that too,
you see what I'm saying?
Like I was saying, my aunt passed, a lot of stuff dissipated
yeah.
on the holidays.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is, it's not being passed down from the grandmother. I think they hold on to a lot of stuff.
They hold on to that.
They don't necessarily know how to pass stuff yeah. down to the next generation.
Yeah. And yeah, it's possible. Mm-hmm. And then it really is up to that next generation to kind of want to hold on to that too, though.
And you know? It speaks to also us as Black folks not taking seriously legacy. And because we usually right. pass down legacy nice. Through word,
nice.
Through word of mouth,
right?
But not writing it down,
right?
Not making sure that we have insurance and that we're taken care of, because we think everybody's gonna live forever,
right?
So we don't set up insurance plans and have all these things to keep everything going,
yes.
And so when it dies, it's dead. Yeah. We don't push it forward,
yeah.
And I think that's generally speaking amongst Black folks, and I think we're starting to understand that, starting to understand the importance of insurance, starting to understand, make sure that everything is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
When someone passes, that we understand where their records are, mm-hmm. you know, all the information mm-hmm. is to keep those things going. Because I think that's a lot of it.
Right.
Because we do, like, Big Mama's going to live forever.
Right.
Type of thing.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
That's the person that's in charge. And Big Mama was always old when we were little,
yeah.
so she's going to always be here.
Yeah.
She was born old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then also here in California, you know, like you say, is it a Midwest-South thing? Like, the families in the South tend to, even my family that is still in the South, they still gather.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
But here in Cali, when I look at growing up, like you, it wasn't, we did get together, but it wasn't a lot. Like I said, it was a small family.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only about four of us that was actually getting together on that Sunday. You know what I mean? It was grandma, her two children, and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? These smaller cores, and then everyone would kind of, you know, some people would gather, some people wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just small.
Yeah, and it was like a big event if somebody came over.
Yeah.
Like, you know, family or friends. It was something going on.
Was it small for you or was it big?
It was like blended families, like you said.
My aunts
from San Jose and the ones from Vallejo.
Yeah.
And we weren't really blood related. The two sisters were married to brothers.
Right.
You know,
right.
So we kind of brought our families together.
Exactly.
But it's not like my family in Texas where it's like all my cousins and my aunts are getting together. But grandma's the only one here in California that's a sibling out of all 14 of them. So, you know, there's not as much. I think if she was there at home, yes, we would have that feeling.
Yeah.
Her sister, who's 90 years old, just cooked a dinner 2 weeks ago and had, the other sisters come over and things like that. So they're still definitely keeping it going in the South a little bit more. Maybe we have more distractions here in
that's
California.
That's what I was going to say. What is it in California that causes us not to?
I think we have to hustle a little harder.
The hustle is harder.
Yeah, and we have more distractions here. Mm-hmm. Like I said, people don't stop and smell the roses as much as they probably should.
Yeah.
You know, the stress levels are higher. People are burning themselves out on these jobs and not really, taking to heart, enjoying their lives.
Yeah.
You know, like, I work, I should be able to enjoy some of this time. It's just not like go every day.
And the Bay is spread out, too. It's different. Like, when they talk about country mile, like, I think people in the Midwest and South are closer in proximity to each other. You know, like you're saying, you got family in Sacramento, San Jose. It's not easy just to drive to Sacramento or San Jose.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Right.
You know, that's a trip.
I do it often.
You know? But, you know, it's a lot for people to kind of do that all the time. You know, you have people come from Tracy, Stockton, and the further and further they push us out from the metro areas,
you know,
it gets harder.
Yeah.
I grew up, all of the whole neighborhood knew each other.
Yeah.
You know, and then you grew up, and there's families and families of those families, you know, growing up on the same block.
Yeah.
And then people start moving out of those blocks, you know, start moving out further and further.
Yeah, it's true.
So is there something that we can do that can actually, can we shift it in California? Can we do something to make things more family oriented? Can we make it where we're not so stressed out on our jobs? Can we get back to living, you know, in quotations, our best life? Is that possible?
I think that cooking is kind of like therapy, just like gardening.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, it's almost like a necessity.
Okay.
You know, if you want to be more at peace. I think, with all that said, I think, yes, we can get back to something like that.
What do we have to do to get back?
We have to make time.
Yeah.
We have to make time.
Yeah. How do we do that?
We have to get ownership of ourselves again and start and to a point where we're not relying. We have to start understanding our value and know that we have value just in our daily lives.
Like you were saying earlier.
Right. I'm the commodity. So I need this sell for me so that I can be the best me, right?
Yeah.
So I got to take this time out for myself. If not, I'm not going to be any good for anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you get to a point where I'm not, when you have your own agency and you're not relying on a check, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so it takes a lot to get to that point. But I think if we get to that point where, you know what, I've established savings, I've established a net worth where I can be comfortable and to do the things that I want to do, it'll make it easier.
Yeah.
You know, we have to start preparing and, you know, and start investing in ourselves and in our communities. You know, and it might have to be outside of California because it's just so expensive. And we don't realize how expensive it is out here.
Especially for people with children.
Yes.
Your money goes a lot further and the quality of life is a lot better.
I just paid $1,200 for insurance yesterday. You know, so it's like, that's not rent.
That's just the insurance
just so I can go to,
and you
still
have a deductible to pay when you get to the doctor.
Actually, no, I got the gold plan.
Oh,
so I have
no
deductible.
Oh, look.
That's the reason why.
I know. I'm like, what?
That's the reason why I did that, because the silver plan that was out had to come out like $100.
You know,
so I was like, I'll pay it. You know, I made that option to do that, but it's like damn, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
You know, yes. That's some people's rent.
That's real.
You know, so, and that's just the way that our system is set up. And because people don't believe in voting, we get people in office that make sure that we don't have health insurance.
And you want to bring in this next record?
I don't know. Is it about Trump?
There you go. Keep it locked. KCBC. Generation X.
Oh, yeah. Miles ahead.
Milestone, I Care About You. Listen to Generation X. Man, I've had a great time with you till today, as usual.
Man.
Time to wrap this thing on up. Mm-hmm. Time to wrap it up. Time to wrap it up. Yeah.
Didn't those guys' Milestone sound like Jodeci?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It's Jodeci.
After Seven.
After Seven and Babyface. Babyface.
Yeah,
Babyface.
I almost forgot.
Yeah.
From the movie. Come on, keep up.
Yeah. that was the group. Because Miles
was his name.
Miles was the one that was...
cheating. Miles was the one
dating Vanessa Williams.
And that was his group in the movie.
Milestone.
I forget.
That was Jodeci's time to get on with Babyface.
Yeah. Hey, Jodeci and Boyz II Men was on that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. So.
But you see, they had the whitewash Jodeci. They didn't let them be Jodeci.
I don't know. That was a good baby face.
We're gonna put you in Miles Stone, but you can't be Jodeci.
That was a good. That was a
they
good.
Let,
record,
they let
though.
Boyz II Men be Boyz II Men.
We didn't play Boyz II Men.
No, I'm just saying that. They didn't let all the Jodeci on it. Just you know.
They just let Casey. Well, Casey and JoJo was the ones.
They was the ones. But they couldn't be Jodeci. They had to be Miles Stone.
Yes. Yes. That's who they had to be. That's your final words?
That's my final words.
Your final words.
Tell the children the truth.
Keisha, any final words?
Nothing big for this week, but everyone, don't forget that you are chosen.
This life
is yours, and man, you can choose to do with it what you may.
You got the best t-shirt slogans.
I love it. Now I'm starting to realize she's just taking Bible scriptures. I'm just going.
You can lead.
Put my initials on it. L. Lewis.
Take this out of Timothy real quick. Yeah.
You can lead a hold of water, but you can't make her think.
Hey, that's what it is, man. Look, eat better, make time, enjoy your family.
Yep.
That's what it is.
That's what's up.
Until next time.
Tell the children the truth.
Deuces.
Tell the children the truth, huh? Let's take it out with my man Elton John. Generation X KCBZ.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that. Look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without meant to cut me.